I want to pass to Jeremiah 7:11, and I think maybe we'll take the rest of our time at this place, Jeremiah 7:11. In order to get to Jeremiah 7:11, I'd like you to turn to page 29, because I would like you to see some things that emerge as we connect some dots in Jeremiah and in the Old Testament. And in order to do this, I'd like us to go back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verses 1 through 4. This begins now to open up a bigger picture of what's going on in Jeremiah. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Thus the word of the Lord, word of Samuel, came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to meet the Philistines in battle and camped by Ebenezer, while the Philistines camped at Aphek, and the Philistines drew up in battle array to meet Israel. When the battle spread, Israel was defeated before the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men on the battlefield. When the people came into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us take to ourselves from Shiloh the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that it may come among us and deliver us from the power of our enemies." And then if you drop down to verses 10 and 11, so the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent, and the slaughter was very great, for there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. And this is a story familiar to most of us, but it's setting the stage now for what we find in Jeremiah. Verse 22. Here is the reaction now of the taking of the ark of the covenant and the birth of Ichabod, the son of the daughter-in-law of Eli. And she called the boy Ichabod, it says in verse 21. And verse 22, she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God was taken." Okay? And as I say in the outline, the period of the judges is drawing to a close. And the Ark of the Covenant is the symbol of God's presence. And we understand that that's the case. And when the Ark is taken, the glory of God has departed. All right, now let's compare in Jeremiah the words of Jeremiah 7:12 through 15. Jeremiah 7, and you remember now, chapter 7, temple sermon. Jeremiah 7, temple sermon. Jeremiah 7:12. Now, Jeremiah, talking about the coming judgment upon Jerusalem. Verse 12, he says, "But go now to my place which was in Shiloh, where I made my name dwell at the first." Right? Here was the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, "and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel." And verse 13, "And now because you have done all these things, declares the Lord, and I spoke to you, rising up early and speaking, but you did not hear, and I called, but you did not answer, therefore I will do to the house which I called by my name, in which you trust, and to the place which I gave you and your fathers, as I did to Shiloh. So Jeremiah makes a comparison between Shiloh and Jerusalem. And we see this again in chapter 26. It is other temple, a reference to the temple sermon, 26:6. Then I will make this house like Shiloh, and this city I will make a curse to all the nations of the earth. And verse 9, similarly, why have you proclaimed in the name of the Lord, saying, this house will be like Shiloh, and this city will be desolate without inhabitant? And all the people gathered about Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. So God was making this comparison. And as I say in the outline, Jeremiah connects Jerusalem of his day with Shiloh of the days of Eli and Samuel. There was judgment then, and there will be judgment again, and the glory will depart. So to me, this is the other significant thing. The glory will depart. And this is part of the idea of judgment. Again, if you would, turn back to Jeremiah 7 now. Jeremiah chapter 7, and look at verses 8 through 11. Jeremiah 7, verses 8 through 11. Behold, you are trusting in deceptive words to no avail. You steal, you murder, you commit adultery and swear falsely and offer sacrifices to Baal, and walk after other gods that you have not known. Then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, that you may do all these abominations. Has this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers? Okay. Now you remember those words. Okay. Has my house become a den of robbers? Behold, even I have seen it, declares the Lord. The temple, as I say in my outline, the temple in Jeremiah's day became a den of robbers, verse 11, and for this reason it will be like Shiloh, and judgment will come and the glory will depart. Okay. Now, let's go to Matthew 21. Connecting the dots here, Matthew 21, Matthew 21:12, and Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And this was the problem in Jeremiah's day. But you are making it a robber's den. Now, for sure, the people to whom Jesus was talking caught the significance of those words coming from Jeremiah, that Christ was indicting the people in his day in the temple the way Jeremiah was indicting the people in his own day, that is, Jeremiah's day. And Christ is making that connection, you see. And so all of a sudden, what do we have? We have a connection from Shiloh to the day of Jeremiah to the day of Jesus. Right? Connecting those dots. Right? That's what's happening. So Shiloh becomes a picture of judgment which is to come in Jerusalem in the day of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is saying, or Jesus is saying, that in his day judgment is going to come just as judgment came in the days of Jeremiah, and the glory will depart. What an amazing thing. And of course, this is all in the plan and the purpose of God. Along this line then, look at Matthew chapter 23 and verses 37. Jesus commenting now about Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. Jeremiah. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. And you can just see Jesus saying those words and walking away. And the curse is upon the house. The glory departs. And this is what Jesus is saying. And then notice the words of Jesus in verse 39. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, you have to think this through a little bit. Just before all of this takes place, Jesus enters Jerusalem in, quote, his triumphal entry, and the people laud him, singing, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus, the Messiah, is coming to his city, and he is the king and the judge, and he is recognized by some as the king, and he is repudiated by others who will be judged by him. Now, notice the words in Matthew 23 again. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And when will he come? Well, he is guaranteed to come again, is he not? I think this is a reference to and a promise concerning the second coming of Christ. And so what do you have? Connecting these dots, you have Shiloh, judgment, the glory departs, which is used by Jeremiah to portray his day with regard to judgment and the departing of the glory, which Jesus, in turn, relates to his own day and the judgment of Jerusalem and the departure of the glory, and, in turn, relates that scene to a future day when Christ will come a second time in glory, and there will be those who say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so we have several dots, you see, very purposefully connected together in Scripture. Now, I want you to look at one more text, and that is Isaiah 56:7. Isaiah 56:7. Isaiah 56:7. This is the other text Jesus quotes when he drives the money changers out of the temple. Even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all peoples. There's your reference. Now, in Isaiah, interestingly enough, the context is eschatological. And if we had a little bit more time, we could search this out and understand it better. But look at verse 6 in Isaiah 56. Also the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to Him, and to love Him, love the name of the Lord, to be His servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast My covenant, even those I will bring to My holy mountain. See, this is a time when all of the foreigners of the world will be brought to the holy mountain of God. This is Zion as a picture of the heavenly Zion or the heavenly Jerusalem. And this is a reference to the end of time and the people of God being brought from every tribe and tongue and nation. And the final destination of it all is heaven and the temple of God in heaven, which is to be the house of prayer and of praise par excellence. That's where everything is headed. And so, when Christ comes again a second time in glory, the whole idea of the temple being the house of prayer will be fulfilled, and Christ will be recognized as the one who is blessed coming in the name of the Lord. And you'll have to work on that a little bit more, I think. But at the end of my outline, I've got these notes. Note the eschatological context of Isaiah 56:7. The older house of prayer points forward to the newer house of prayer for all the people, for all people, the church, now being built by Christ and by His work to be consummated. This is not the end, but it will be consummated. And Christ will come a second time in glory to complete His work. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so, that last piece, I think, not coming across as clearly, and so you may have to work on that a little bit, but I think this is what happens. Scripture, as I say in the last of the outline, connects Samuel's Shiloh, Jeremiah's Jerusalem, first century Jerusalem, and Christ coming again to judge the earth. I think when you connect the dots, that's exactly what takes place. And I find that very interesting and helpful because it enables us then to talk about the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 as a picture and type of the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, which is foreshadowed in Shiloh. Okay? It's all like Shiloh. And Scripture uses that terminology, which in turn points to the final consummation and judgment. And this is why sometimes we find it confusing in the language of the prophets and the language of the New Testament and in the apocalyptic language. We wonder when we read the judgmental words whether they're referring to Jerusalem at this point or at this point or down further in history at the consummation, say. And part of the difficulty is that we have to connect the dots and see how that one is a type and portrayal of another. And this is how Scripture connects the dots, I think. And so Jeremiah fits into this scheme as he looks forward to the coming of Messiah and the consummation of all things.